Investigators are still asking why American soldiers in Iraq abused prisoners at the Abu Ghraib prison, sparking a worldwide scandal. But since the September 11th terrorist attacks, the way we think about things like torture and interrogations has changed. Many people on the front lines concluded that if torturing a suspected terrorist yields information that helps prevent another attack, it might be worth it. NPR's Mary Louise Kelly reports.
No senior American official is likely to stand up and admit that after 9/11, U.S. interrogators were given tacit permission to use torture. But in September 2002, 1 year after the attacks, Kofor Black came close to admitting that. Black was running the CIA's counterterrorist center at the time. He testified before the House and Senate intelligence committees that in dealing with terrorist suspects, quote, there was before 9/11 and after 9/11. And after 9/11, he said, the gloves come off. Vincent Canestraro, another former head of the Counterterrorist Center, agrees.
I think 9/11 was the catalyst for changing a lot of the attitudes towards interrogation and what was permissible and what was not.
Canestraro says after September 11th, the shift in attitude was almost immediate.
People's emotions are inflamed, and people acting for the U.S. government, U.S. government officials, involved in interrogation tend to bend the rules. They tend to pressure the person to get the information. If that pressure under legal guidelines doesn't work, there is an incentive to go beyond and to torture.
Human rights groups believe the horrific account emerging from Abu Ghraib is the latest installment in a pattern of abuse by U.S. interrogators. Kenneth Roth is the executive director of Human Rights Watch. He points to Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. Prisoners held there by U.S. forces have emerged with accounts of being stripped naked, doused with water, and deprived of sleep. Even worse, Roth says, is the case of two Afghan prisoners who died at Bagram. Military coroners ruled the deaths were homicides.
That was nearly 2 years ago, and to this day, the Pentagon still has not released the results of the investigation into those two homicide deaths. That sends a signal to interrogators around the world that the administration is not really serious about reining in abuse in the course of interrogations, so long as they're somehow related to the global war on terrorism.
Roth and other human rights and legal experts argue that the stage was set for abuse at Abu Ghraib back in January 2002. That's when Defense Secretary Rumsfeld announced that detainees who were being shipped off to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, quote, do not have any rights under the Geneva Conventions. The 600 detainees held at Guantanamo are still classified as enemy combatants with no formal rights. At a Pentagon press conference this week, Rumsfeld was asked about the distinction.
I wonder if you think that Pentagon policy exempting these people specifically from Geneva Convention legalities, even if not the spirit of the Geneva Convention, created an atmosphere where people thought, well, I can go a little bit farther than I would normally be allowed to because these aren't actual prisoners of war.
I don't think so. I think that the statement, while you're certainly correct that the lawyers made a legal distinction with respect to the Geneva Convention. In every time that was uttered, it was also added that they are being treated consistent with the Geneva Convention. And that has been our desire, our intent, and our conviction up until this point.
The Geneva Conventions lay out rules for behavior during wartime. They forbid torture. But according to an official U.S. Army investigation, guards at Abu Ghraib were not briefed on them. No copies were posted in the prison. Even if they had been, though, the conventions offer only broad guidance. In this week's New York Times Magazine, Michael Ignatieff calls for a presidential order or congressional legislation that defines exactly what constitutes acceptable degrees of coercive interrogation. Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz couldn't agree more. He says, like it or not, torture is going to happen.
Look, we may have to use some extraordinary means. We may have to humiliate. We may have to threaten. That should be a decision made from the very, very top. And that's exactly what we're not doing now. So it's up to the individual, and the individual says making them wear women's panties, that seems okay. The individual soldier, the individual intelligence officer, should not be making these policy decisions because they involve the national security of the United States.
When the story of the abuses at Abu Ghraib prison first broke, Rumsfeld said he hoped it was an isolated incident. That hope must be fading. U.S. officials revealed this week that 25 prisoners have died in U.S. custody in Iraq and Afghanistan. And on Wednesday, the military admitted that two guards at Guantanamo have been disciplined over allegations of prisoner abuse there. Today on Capitol Hill, Rumsfeld and General Richard Myers, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, will face tough questions over whether, in the rush to win the war on terror, a climate was created in which the end was seen to justify the means. Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.
You can read one of the U.S. military's classified reports on abuses at Abu Ghraib prison by going to our website at npr.org.